We have celebrated birthdays for years, and we always say it's the birth of Christ. And I'm going to make some comments, and they put this skit together from a sermon I preached a few years ago, and I was impressed that they didn't forget it. So I'm going to make comments off of that sermon this morning, and it was titled, "Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?" Christians throughout the world have chosen December the 25th to be the day we celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, we know that Christ may not have been born on December 25th. Could have been in the fall, could have been in the spring, maybe even the summer, although theologians say mostly the fall. But if that date was so important, the Bible would have told us. Okay? The fact remains is that we should celebrate the fact that he came. I believe in celebrating the birth of Jesus regardless of the time of year. We should celebrate it all year round that he came. It is the one time that many in the world proclaim our Savior has come. And I just seen, I got a text from Zephan last week, and this is quite interesting timing. But you know, Zephan is on a boat. He may be in Antarctica even today as we speak. Did he make it there already? Yeah, of all places to go on Christmas, Antarctica. That's where he went. But he said that while he was in Argentina, he got hit up by some colts. And I'm glad that Zephan had the common sense to know something was really off. But they didn't tell him the whole truth. And I looked up the group that came with him. They came out of South Korea. And they believe that two people that are in the world today are Christ again, being in the flesh. A man and a woman. And it's a cult. If anybody's telling you Christ is coming again in that manner, or Christ is here in the form of man, do you know it's the spirit of Antichrist talking to you? Well, that's what they were trying to tell Zephan. And here's a scripture, so you always know. Christ already came. He already walked this earth. He already demonstrated the kingdom. He already went to the cross. He already paid for our sins, and he's at the right hand of the Father giving salvation to whoever calls on his name. So he doesn't need to come again in the form of man. So the scripture says in 1 John 4:1-3, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." In other words, he's already come. "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world." So it's very important, and I like what we call Christmas, celebrating the birth of Jesus, because at least the world is proclaiming that he has come, those who believe in him. And there's a lot who do not. That spirit of Antichrist has driven the world to avoid and even deny that Jesus Christ has even come into the world, although historians and everyone all know he has come. It's a historical fact. So let's look briefly what the world has done with Christmas, and let's hope that we aren't doing the same thing as Christian believers. Our secular public schools no longer, by and large, recognize Jesus during Christmas. In other words, Jesus is not mentioned or there. I recall not too long ago going to what I thought was a Christmas program at Pittsboro Elementary School, only to find out that they called it a winter celebration. Does that sound pagan to you? You're celebrating the seasons and you're celebrating the nature. They called it a winter celebration. Go to any city or government-funded park today and see the Christmas display, and you might find that everything, and some still will allow a manger scene. It depends on the principality that's going on in the county. But you'll find everything but Jesus in a lights display. Down in Evansville, they had a park called Garvin Park, and they still do it. And every year, it was very pretty. You went through the park, and there's all these pretty lights. You start at the beginning, and you go through the whole thing. But by the time you get to the end, there was not a thing about Jesus. Snow and wintertime. Yeah, it was all pretty. But something was missing. Whose birthday is it anyway?
Jesus.
Amen. So what Adam and I did is we decided to stand at the very edge of the park, just outside the park, and we, and as cars came through, they would stop. They thought we were part of the thing, and we would hand them this little chick track, the greatest story ever told. It was a story of Christmas. So everybody thought that was great. They all blended in, and then the police came. We got a complaint from somebody that you were out here, and of course, Adam being Adam, he said, yeah. He says, we're not in the park. I mean, the other people are leasing that park. And he said, well, he says, we've looked up the law, and as long as you're where you're at, you keep going. And they didn't bother us. Now, we got a little fancier year after year. We actually got a live nativity scene at the end of it, too, on a business that allowed us to do that in their parking lot. But that, we wanted to make sure when they went through that thing that they knew the meaning of Christmas and also how to meet the Savior. Now, businesses, public organizations, and people no longer say Merry Christmas a lot of the time, but they say Happy Holidays. If you listen carefully, that's what's happened. Now, in the last few years, there's been a war out of the White House, and they've made it a point to say Merry Christmas. But I'm telling you, we can't be removing Jesus from his very birth. Even Santa Claus is on the decline, for the name Santa means saint. Did you know that? Saint. And San, like San Francisco, means Saint Frank. Los Angeles means the angels. So when Spain conquered up into California, they gave names like that. Santa Claus means saint. There actually was a Saint Nicholas. You can read about this man and what he did, and he cared about children. That's why they called him a saint. Even Saint Nick is too close to recognizing God today, and people are starting to push him out too. Atheists have worked hard at removing nativity scenes, crosses, and anything to do with the birth of Jesus from courthouse lawns and government property. And the courts, by and large, have caved into this group. I could go further concerning the attempts to remove the celebration of Christ's birth, but I think by now you've seen it all for yourselves. Now let's hit home a little bit, church. What has the church done with Christmas? I'm pleased to say that by and large the church continues to bring the message that Christ was born and came to this world to save us. Depending on the strength of the message in any given church, I'm not sure how much the church pushes for getting rid of all the commercialism and negative things that detract from us truly celebrating the birthday of Jesus. But sadly, when a Christian leaves the church building, he or she can often get swept away by the demands of the holiday that really isn't or doesn't have a thing to do with the birth of Christ. I got to get all those presents bought. I got company coming in. Oh my gosh, I don't have enough food. You know, all this. Yes, we love to get together with our family. That is part of it. And somebody said they were thankful for that. But sometimes we get so swept away by the pressure of that, that Jesus also gets pushed aside in the life of a Christian, and he or she doesn't even realize they're doing it. It can leave us all stressed out after Christmas with maxed out credit cards and a feeling of relief or even depression when it's all over. It shouldn't be that way, people. Should it? It should always, if you make it all about Jesus, you don't leave Christmas feeling empty. You don't leave his birthday with a big bill in the mail because you had to run up your credit card because you didn't have the funds to buy presents for everybody and you didn't want somebody to be offended if you left them out. Many of us have to deprogram and recover emotionally and physically from what we call Christmas. Am I telling the truth here today? Amen. Imagine if it were so that your birthday, now think about this, that if your birthday was recognized and celebrated throughout the world, or by even your family, what if it was celebrated the way so many of us celebrate the birthday of Jesus? Imagine a party being thrown in your honor, but you were not mentioned hardly at all. And if you walked in the door, you're basically ignored while all the partygoers have a good time eating, drinking, and being merry. And in some cases, you might not even be allowed to even be at that party. and it's your birthday. And that's what they're supposed to be celebrating. This is what we do with Jesus every year. We forget about him. He's hardly mentioned. Imagine all the houses that decorate themselves so beautifully on Christmas. And that's wonderful. I love lights. Lights, I'm into lights. I remember my family and my dad used to pile us all in the old 64 Buick Wildcat. If some of you know your cars, we'd get in that thing and he would take us to see all the Christmas lights and we'd end up downtown. And it was a big deal to go around the circle and see that lit up. I loved that. And the lights reminded you of the hope, because, you know, I spoke of darkness several weeks ago, and light is what God is all about. He's the light of the world. And imagine the houses decorating themselves so beautiful on Christmas, and it's supposed to be for you on your birthday, but then you find out that it's mostly done for the neighbors to see, and so many go out to have first prize in their neighborhood for the best decorated house. Do you know they do that? Okay, there's nothing, I guess that's okay, but if you're doing it as unto the Lord, that's when it's okay. If you're doing it just to get the prize and be the fancy person on the block, then it's the wrong spirit. And the person being celebrated, which is Jesus, isn't even part of the picture, or may not even be allowed in that decorated house. And if it's your birthday, how would you feel? Or you find out that businesses pretend to celebrate your birthday, but they do so because it is the biggest money maker for them during the entire year. Going to cash in on Jesus. Imagine going in the house of even a proclaiming Christian family and you see a beautiful tree with all those presents under it. Your heart would be warm thinking of that family all getting you those gifts. And you're thinking, man, it's my birthday. All those gifts under that tree are for me. But then the big day comes and there's not a one gift under that tree for you. But rather, every gift is given to the residents in the house. Now, there's nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with gift giving. But could we give some presents to Jesus on his birthday, church? That was the point of this little skit. Whose birthday is it anyway? The Word of God gives us many ideas. And I've said this year after year concerning presents to give Jesus in celebration of his birthday. And I'm serious about this. He's not concerned about something material under the tree, but some of the things we demonstrated here this morning were gifts that you should give Jesus. Going to the prison, as you've done this to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, Jesus says. Amen. What a present. I might get a little emotional. But man, I didn't really want to go up there. I had a lot going on last week, and I was trying not to get caught up in all this myself. But I was invited to Lima, Ohio, to the correctional, Allen Oakwood Correctional Facility up there, because these inmates were putting on a Christmas presentation, Christmas play. And one of the main characters was a guy that I've been counseling and visiting about 20 years, Donald Sorrell. He knew I would mention him today. He was one of the main characters. And so I thought, I got to go there. I got to go. I got to support, because I've been talking to this guy for 20 years. The fellow that came into the bank in Avon, pulled a gun at my sister Gail's head, held it to her, made her get on the floor while he robbed the bank. And after he left the bank, he got caught. Well, he robbed a lot of banks, so he went into prison for 25 years. 20 years in Indiana, 5 now in Ohio. So here he is after all these years, and a lot of you know this story, but God said, you need to go visit this guy, and I said, I don't want to visit this guy. I was mad. He held a gun to my sister's head. I was angry back then. And God said, I want you to visit him. Do you know sometimes God will tell you what you don't want to do? It's not all about what you want. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll visit him. I will. And I did what I'm famous for doing. I was slow. I took my time. I'm going to visit him, God. I'm going to visit him. What am I going to say? You know? And then came a news bulletin on the news that a man had escaped from the Miami Correctional Facility, and they showed his picture, and they're blaring all over state TV was Donald Sorrell's picture. He had hidden in a crate and went out on a truck and escaped from the prison. Only person that ever pulled that off up there. And then when it showed it to me, he was at large, and they called my sister Gail and warned her he's at large, you know, and they had to call people that were involved in any of his crimes. And I saw that, and God said again, didn't I tell you to go visit him? Then I got to thinking, what if he gets shot and killed while they're trying to apprehend him? There's a purpose. God wanted me to see him. I was to bring him Jesus Christ. I was to tell him the gospel and let him know about forgiveness. So I said, okay, Lord, please let nothing happen to him. I'll visit him. Of course, they apprehended him and they put him in a really high security prison up at Westville. There was a little place in that prison. There was a prison in the prison. It wasn't a drum cage. You know, you go in there, you go through the guards, you feel like you're getting on an airplane, they search you, they do all this stuff. Then I got on a shuttle, and they put me through some other gates, and I'm sitting there thinking, this doesn't do much for my claustrophobia. I got to get out of here. I hope they don't mistake me for somebody, and I'm in here. Well, I went in there, and I even said before I went in that building, what am I going to say to this guy? God, I'm here. I'm going to visit him. While I was in prison, you visited me. That's what the Lord said. So I had to just face the fact, I'm going to see Jesus. Now that sounds strange, but isn't that what he said? I'm ministering to him. And I am not good at, there's some people that have prophetic giftings and God can drop something in them just like that. Me, I have to have everything all planned out, and I didn't have anything planned out. I didn't know what to say to this guy. I had been writing him for a little while, and he knew that I was coming, but he didn't know who I was. He just knew I was a preacher from Henners County. And I just said, hey, if you need somebody to talk to, he wrote me back, you know, before I went up there, and he said, well, I don't know why you want to see a scumbag like me. And I said, I guess we'll talk about that someday. So there I was. I went in there and sat down, and then they brought him out in shackles. And they had him under high. When if you escape from a prison, they don't forget it. And they locked that man down so bad, put him in solitary, even strapped him to a table for days. And some of that to me was cruel and unusual punishment. But nevertheless, that's what they did to him. And he sat down. I introduced myself as the preacher from Henners County. And we did our little preliminaries. How are you? Do you have family? Well, you know, whatever. And he looks at me right in the eye and he says, I'm still trying to figure out why you want to visit a scumbag like me. And then God started talking. And he said, tell him that it's about forgiveness. And I said, Donnie, it's about forgiveness. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, I know you went into a bank, held a gun to a woman's head, had her get on the floor, robbed that bank. And he goes, wait a minute, are you a cop? I says, no, I'm not a cop. Do you work at the bank? No, I don't work at the bank. I said, but the woman you put the gun to, and I felt myself, my emotions slipping. I thought, don't get into this anger thing. I said, but the woman you put the gun to her head was my sister. And his reaction, he dropped and he looked down at the table and he goes, I am so sorry. Now he was expecting me to light into him like I'd planned this whole thing out just to let him have it. But I said, Donnie, I'm here to tell you that it's about forgiveness. Do you know that my sister forgives you? I forgive you, and I'm hearing it out of my mouth, because you have to. You have to. And he said, really? I said, really? Really? In fact, she wanted me to come see you. And I said, but I got to tell you about a greater forgiveness of all. And I told him all about Jesus coming, that we all were born in sin, we're all sinners, none of us are better than anybody else, and that the creator of this universe and this world came to this planet, walked this earth in the form of man. And I shared with him the whole gospel, how he took our sin and our punishment upon his place. And when he hung on that cross, he was saying, I forgive you. If you will receive my forgiveness, this is what I'm doing. And he died in our place. Looked at Donnie, tears coming down his face. And he received it. Made it all worthwhile. Now that was, my land, maybe close to 20 years ago. Now here we are. He's at the last few years of his sentence. And that man is a changed man. He's been in there a long time. And correctional facilities, I'm giving my opinion, do not correct people. In fact, some people go in there and they come out worse. It's not even designed. There's some, I don't want to get on this soapbox, but when you have prisons that are owned by private companies in the state of Indiana that have stock on the stock market, if they rehabilitated everybody and they didn't go back to prison, they'd be out of business. This shouldn't be, but I don't want to get on that soapbox. I will say that one of the reasons I supported Jamie Reitnauer so much for her candidacy to be a governor was because she was asking me to be part of her prison team, and man, was there going to be some reforms. Anyway, that's another story. Let's get back to Donnie. Years passed. Now he's at the last leg, and he's in a prison there that's a special prison that they for people that have been in good behavior for years. I don't know if you know it, but our church sponsored a garden project there last spring. And those inmates planted that garden. They got pictures of it. I'll probably post them on Facebook. They raised like 5 tons of food. I'm not kidding you. That garden was so big, and those inmates loved getting out of there and gardening. And what did they do with that produce? The prison donated to the homeless shelters and nursing homes and all over that part of Ohio. Those inmates blessed everybody. So now here we are, 2025, and I'm going up there in my old Ford to see a Christmas program with Donnie in it. And what's Donnie's part in this Christmas play? This is not even in my notes, but this is where the Lord's taken me, and this is where I'm going to go. Donnie's part in this Christmas skit was he was a father that had been, it was his story. He was a father that had been in prison and had ruined his life, wrecked it, was apart from his kids, apart from his family, and they had to fend for themselves while he sat in prison for all the things he did. And now, along the way, while he was in prison, he found Jesus Christ. And in this play, he's calling. They had a little phone booth there, and he was calling. And they had his son across the stage, and his son would answer the phone. And he was trying to tell his son, son, I know, and you know, the first call he called, what does the son say? Oh, you want commissary, don't you? You want this and that? He goes, no, son, I've got to tell you something. And he tries and tries to tell this son, and the son hangs up on him. And then the men sing. They sing some music, and boy, did they jam out for Jesus. And those men were up there, and tears were coming down their faces. That's a chaplain up there. That is a real chaplain in that prison. He knows what he's doing. But then Donnie comes back on, and he tries to call his son again. Finally, to make a story short, the son comes to visit him in prison in this skit. And he tells him, you know, my life is different. I know Jesus, everything. He said, I may be behind these walls, but I am more free than I've ever been in my life. And his son recognized something happened. You know, when you're with Jesus, something happens. People know it. If you've really been with Jesus, people know it. Amen. They can tell. And in this skit, that son breaks down and decides he wants Jesus. And they gather around him in the prison. They lay hands on him, and they pray with him to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. And there was Donnie right there doing it with them. I've been in some good church services, people, where the Lord has come down in his power. But I want to tell you, right in the middle of that prison facility, Allen Oakwood, Lima, Ohio, the Spirit of Jesus Christ came into that place, and there was not a dry eye. People were touched all over the place. I know when the Holy Ghost is moving, and he was moving in that prison Thursday night. And when Donnie came out, he was beaming. Saw the Lord all over him. Came out. They got to come out and visit with us. The families and friends of those that were in prison that were invited. And I said, it's all worth it. Folks, we're not perfect. These kids, they did a good job. And of course, they were getting some things out of order. But you know what? All the Lord needs, all the Lord wants, if we're to give him a special present throughout the year, is to do what he asks us to do. And there's so many things in the Word. I'm not going to go through all of them. We may touch on some things Wednesday night. But I'm going to tell you, people, it's his birthday. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you want to give him a special present, look up what he said to do and just simply do it. Yeah, it's a long haul with Donnie, but man, has it been worth it? Has it been worth it? I know the meaning. As you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You go into a nursing home where somebody's very lonely and doesn't have any family or visitors. You are going to see Jesus. You go to somebody who's sick or is in a dire situation. And thank you, some of you who went to see Darlene. That was very, 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 very a blessing. Continue to pray for her. But there's so many things. You want to give Jesus a present? The best present you can give him, if you haven't done so, church, is your very life. That is the best present because he died to purchase that life. And if you refuse Jesus and you refuse his gift of salvation, why he came into the earth, if you refuse that, he went to the cross for you and went through all that suffering in vain. He did it for nothing. If you don't decide today to give him your life, And to say, Lord, the best present I can give you is myself. Every part of me. Don't hold anything back. Go all in. Amen. And every Christian here today, and I'm not going to take a poll of people. I don't know how all in or not in you are. But listen, if you have parts that you're holding back, give them those parts. That's the first present you can give him. And then there's so many things he called us to do. If you love me, feed my sheep. He said that to Peter. There's a lot of things we can do. But man, what an illustration I had this week from that prison up in Lima, Ohio, that Jesus can meet us anywhere, even in the depths of hell, if he's going to get us out of there. What does David say? If I make my bed in hell, he is there with me. And he was there that night. Man, I almost couldn't contain it. I'm sitting there just crying my eyes out, thinking of the whole history of that man. You know, in a few years, he's going to get out. He wants to come in here and share with you guys his testimony. And that'll be another day where I'll be bawling my eyes out probably. But that's just one. But my message today is, when I say, whose birthday is it anyway, church? When you celebrate Christmas, and yes, we're to love one another, give gifts, that's not unscriptural. None of that is. But don't forget the one whose birthday it really is, Jesus. And you can give him many gifts, even something simple. Did you know in Psalms, it says in your worship, it says, lift up your hands and bless the Lord. A lot of you don't like lifting up your hands, but you know what? There's something about that. You're blessing the Lord. You're giving something to him. You know, Donnie had a gun on people in that bank. What happens when somebody puts a gun on you? You surrender, don't you? Whatever you want, you got the gun. Now, God's not like that. He's a loving God. But when we go, it's called, Lord, I surrender. I'm surrendering to you. I give you my life. I give you every part of me. I I hope this message rang loud and clear to you this Christmas. And as we go beyond Christmas and we go into 2026, if the Lord should tarry, because you know he could return at any time. It's his birthday every year, because his salvation is for us every day of the year and throughout all eternity. And I urge you to get into this wonderful book and find out, there's quite a gift list in here, what you can give Jesus under his commands. If you love me, keep my commandments. And let's truly make this birthday the actual birthday of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Everybody stand. We're going to close with this joyous song. Now you can play this, Dave.